أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا، ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. صلوات. We were discussing in this series of majalis and lectures on the athar and the impacts of ma'rifat and the in-depth recognition of the Imam of our time and his ma'rifat, which is mentioned in the tafsir of the ayat ma'rifatul imam wajtanabul kaba'ir. That means having the ma'rifat of the Imam and abstaining from the big sins upon which Allah has, in other words, promised the hellfire. So the ma'rifat of the Imam is considered to be equal to the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very important to understand that we cannot have the ma'rifat and shanakht and in-depth recognition of Allah unless we go through the wasila and tawassul and means of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And they are the madahir, the madhar and reflection of Allah, and through them all the fuyul and barakat and blessings are arriving. So when someone asked Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu was salam, su'il al-Husayn alayhi salam ma ma'rifatullah. Someone asked the Imam, what is the ma'rifat of Allah? فأجاب عليه السلام معرفة أهل كل زمان إمامهم الذي يجب عليهم طاعته. The question that was asked was, what is the ma'rifat, shanakht, in depth recognition of Allah? And the answer that Imam عليه السلام replied is that ma'rifatu ahli kulli zamanin imamahum. The question is about Allah's ma'rifat, and the reply which Imam Hussein is giving is about Imam's ma'rifat. So Imam al-Islam says that, in other words, that the ma'rifat of Allah means that the people have the ma'rifat of the Imam of their time, الَّذِي يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمْ تَعَتُهُ, whose ta'at and obedience is wajib upon them. So if we have the ma'rifat of the Imam of our time, that's how we will have the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why we turn to the Imam who is the Mazhar and Khalifa. Now obviously this ma'rifat has certain athar and ala'im, certain impacts and signs. And one of those things that I would like to discuss tonight is the concept of tawadhu and modesty in Islam. When we have the ma'rifat of the Imam, those who have the ma'rifat, they will always be mutawadhi towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept and does not tolerate the takabbur and istikbar from anyone. If you look at from the history of humankind, Shaitan was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since 4,000 years, and some of the tawarikh 6,000 years. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on Mi'raj, he saw a member which was burnt, a member which was burnt down, and Prophet was told that this member belonged to Shaitan. So Shaitan used to sit on this member and deliver speeches and lectures for the Malaika. So Shaitan was Muallimul Malaika. He was the one who used to teach the angels. Who can teach the angels who are masoom? Obviously someone who has more ilm. If you remember in last night's speech, I mentioned that in our religion Islam, you can never find the sa'ada and success anywhere in Islam that says that sa'ada and success belongs to the ulama. If you get the knowledge, you are sa'id and najih and you are successful. Nowhere in Islam it says that because of knowledge only you become successful. The aqibat, that means the good end result, is guaranteed for taqwa. Al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. The end good result only belongs to those who have ilm and amal both together. So ilm alone will never guarantee us to have the good ending in our life. So we find the shaitan was obviously a munafiq, which means kufr inside and Islam outside. From the inside there was kufr and tughyan and tamarrud and unud and inad and utu and fasad and istikbar and juhud. All these things were there inside. From the outside, it was Islam. Allah knew it when the angels did not know. Allah already knows. So when Allah created Adam and asked them to do the sajda, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So now when the command of Allah arise for dropping down into sajda, when Allah blew from his soul into Adam and then commanded the angels and shaitan, who was not part of the angels but he was a jinn, Allah commanded all of them to do the sajda, that's where we find shaitan refused. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al kafirin. So we find that one lahza, one moment of takabbur and istikbar from shaitan lands him into Jahannam. and his 6,000 years of ibadat go down the drain. This is a very big lesson for, you know, obviously all of us to remember in our life, that takabbur is something which is extremely hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tawadhu is something which is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says, "Man tawadha'a rafa'ahu Allah." Whoever does tawadhu and modesty, Allah raises him. Why do we do takabbur? Why do the humans do takabbur? Because they want to pretend that they are big. Isn't that right? They want to show that they are big shot. So if we want to become big, obviously it is going to happen only when we do tawadhu. We are not supposed to do tawadhu so that we become big. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. Isn't it right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like a person to seek highness. We are not supposed to seek highness. We do everything for the sake of Allah only. But what I'm saying is that one of the asar of tawadhu is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself raises the person high. Man tawadha'a rafa'ahu Allah. So what we are trying to achieve by doing takabbur is automatically achieved through tawadhu. وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever does takabbur, Allah downs him. This is what has happened. Now tawadhu is defined in the hadith of the holy of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. He gives some of the examples of tawadhu, that مِنَ التَّوَاضُعُ أَن تَرْضَى بِالْمَجْلِسِ دُونَ الْمَجْلِسِ. As part of the tawadhu, that you agree to sit. You are radhi and pleased to sit in a gathering. That means some people feel bad if they come to the masjid. They don't find their spot in the saf al-awwal, in the first saf and rank of the salat. They feel bad. Some people even, you know, think that is their spot. Nobody should stand in their spot. And masjid cannot be owned by humans, first of all, in Islam. Masjid is the milk of Allah. If you come first, you can sit in the first saf. If you don't come first, you come later. Anybody who comes ahead of you has the right to sit wherever in the masjid. It's not my property, it's not anyone's property, it's the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people feel bad that because I am always standing at that point after the Imam al-Jama'at, why does anyone come in that spot? This should not be there. So we find we should be radhi and pleased to sit in a majlis, in a gathering, wherever we get the spot. Even if I get the spot next to the door, even if I get the spot at the end of the hall, even if I get a spot on the shoes. Isn't that right? So that doesn't matter. You know, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in his house, please say salawat. One of the sha'ir of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam arrives in the house of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and Imam asks him to read the, you know, the dhikr, the musibat, in other words, of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And this sha'ir, he starts reading the ash'ar for the musibat and masa'ib of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. In the middle of this ash'ar and this gathering, Imam alayhi salam, the rawi, the narrator says, Imam alayhi salam stood up and he went next to the shoes and put up his abba on the ground, and he started to stand there and he is crying. And after the gathering ended, the rawi says, I asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, what happened? In the middle, you just stand up and you go to the shoes and you put your abba there, you spread your abba on the ground near to the shoes, and you are standing and crying. He said, my mother, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, she came.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
And I put the abba in the ihtiram of my mother. He was standing in the ihtiram of his mother, next to the shoes. So we find that wherever we find a spot, that's not a point. That's part of tawadhu of a person, that we don't think of ourselves a very big person, so I'm only going to sit ala sadr al majlis, on the most front part of a gathering. No. This means I sit still deep down in my qalb, I think I'm a big person. So the community should always give me a central place to sit. This is against the tawadhu. Imam Sadiq al-Islam is giving examples of tawadhu. Min al-tawadhu an tarda bil majlis dun al-majlis. It's part of tawadhu that you agree to sit in a place instead of another place. You can sit in any place, in other words. Don't seek only the most honored or central place in a gathering. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit in a gathering, it was hard to distinguish because he's sitting with slaves. He's sitting along with servants. This is the tawadhu of Rasulullah. And he said, "Inna Allaha yakrah min abdihi an yakuna mutamayyizan bayna ashabih." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes from a servant to be mutamayyiz, means distinguished from his companions. If I'm sitting with a bunch of mu'mineen and I'm sitting in a distinguished way and the mu'mineen are sitting in a normal way, this is what Allah hates. This is not what Allah likes. Prophet used to sit along with the slaves. So we find the example, one of the examples is this. Now, then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, وَأَن تُسَلِّمَ عَلَى مَن تَلْقَى. This is part of tawadhu, that you say salam on the one whom you meet. Whomsoever you meet. We meet an elder, obviously he's an elder, he has more respect, he's more muhtaram than me. Anyone who is elder is just like my father. Isn't it right? This is the akhlaq of Islam, that we consider elders to be our fathers. Those who are on the same age, we consider them to be our equals. Those who are younger, we consider them as our children. We say salam to everyone. Even the kids, Prophet used to say salam to the children. It's narrated in the riwayat that never happened that someone took sabqat and lead over the Prophet in saying salam. Just the sunnah of Rasulullah to say the salam. This is part of tawadhu. Not that I feel myself to be big, so others need to say salam. I meet somebody, I will not say the salam. This is not tawadhu. And then another example, which Imam alayhi salam says, وَأَن تَتْرُكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِن كُنْتَ مُحِقًا. Mira, jidal, mumarat, mujadala. These are haram in Islam. We are not supposed to do jidal or mira in Islamic morality condemns, which means arguments for the sake of arguments, unnecessarily. You are on haqq, wa in kunta muhiqqan, even though you may be on haqq. Well, if you are on haqq, you have your dalil, you will furnish your dalil, the other person accepts it, very good. If it doesn't accept, you made your point clear already. No need to continue to argue and argue and argue and waste your time and do mira. Mira is condemned. We don't do that. We don't enter into these kinds of unnecessary arguments with the people. We just make our point very clear. A person, itmam al-hujjah, fulfilling of the evidence is done. A person accepts it, good. Doesn't accept it, fine. Look at the behavior of the Holy Prophet in the event of Mubahala. When the Nasara of Najran started to do Mira and Jidal and Muhajja with the Holy Prophet. Prophet did not, do jidal with them. They did not accept the dalil of the Holy Prophet that, if you consider Isa alayhi salam to be son because he didn't have a father, then Adam was created without a father and mother both. That's a dalil. But they did not accept it. Fine, they don't accept it. That's up to them. But the Prophet is not going to continue his argument any further. Now that they continued, Prophet calls them for mubahala. Now let us send la'nat of Allah on each other. Let Allah decide. That's the right way. Sunnat of Rasulullah. We don't continue into arguments. Mubahala in Arabic is derived from the Arabic word of al-buhl wal-bahl. It's narrated in the grammar in both ways. Buhl and bahl means la'an, curse of Allah. And later on, mubahala is used in mutlaq al-du'a, any kind of du'a. So Prophet invited them for the cursing ceremony. So whosoever is sadiq, truth teller, Allah is going to support him. Whosoever is lying, Allah is going to take care of the liar. No need for unnecessary argument and prolonging of the argument. So, and then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that وَأَنْ لَا تُحِبَّ أَنْ تُحْمَدَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى. As in part of tawadu, that you don't love to be praised over taqwa. This is the sign of tawadu that our Imam is teaching us. That means, you did a good job, you did some service, some khidmat for Islam, isn't it right? You did your any community service, you put your this black cloth in the love of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. And now after I put the black cloth, in my heart I feel, well, the mu'mineen should come and say to me, Mawlana, you did a very good job, ahsant, good job. Or you recite the Majlis al-Aza and I get down from the mimbar, and in my qalb, if it is there, that people should come and praise and say, oh, your speech is so good. This is, so if a person, if you perform taqwa, if you perform good deeds towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your heart, if you love to be praised over taqwa, that means you don't, we didn't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not tawadu towards Allah. We should not be even happy over people praising us. لا تحب أن تحمد. You know, you don't even love to be praised. This is how Islam is teaching us. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has punished shaitan. Isn't it right? He's mal'oon. He's rajim. Till the day of judgment. And after the day of judgment. And Allah punished Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Qarun over takabbur. How he used to show takabbur towards Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And he was punished through the khasf. That means the earth engulfed him and sucked him inside. This is the punishment of Allah for the takabbur of Harun, whose gold and silver, whose gold and money was carried as a load of 40 camels. How much money do people have today? You know, even if you have billions, you know, for 40 camels, just imagine the keys to his treasures of gold, the keys were carried as loads of 40 camels. Not the treasure, the keys to his treasures were carried on 40 camels. How much kilograms or pounds does a camel carry? Not 1 kilogram or 1 pound, isn't it right? Hundreds. How much were the loads of the keys that were carried on 40 camels? How much arrogant he was because of the money. Money makes us arrogant, isn't it right? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam prays to Allah, part of the Ulul Azm prophets of God. One of the five, well, this is not a something muttafaqun alayh, bain al-mutakallimeen, among our ulama of ilm al-kalam. There are some ulama of ilm al-kalam who say Ulul Azm messengers are 5. There are some others who say Ulul Azm messengers are 18. Whatever be, they are 5 or they are 18, but Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is one of them, for sure. Isn't it right? So we find Hazrat Isa alayhi salam prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh my Lord, give me raghifan, one piece of bread in the morning, and one raghif, one piece of bread in the evening, and don't give me more fa'atgha, otherwise I will rebel against you. In other words. So this is what Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is saying in his dua. So who are we? What's the level of our taharatul qalb? He's ma'soom. So we find money always makes you arrogant. Always makes you arrogant. Unless if you have tazkiyatul qalb, who are like Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, and those people are very, very nadir and rare who have tazkiyatul qalb. How many people have tazkiyatul qalb? So we never find in the du'as of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam ever asking Allah, "Oh my Lord, give me more and more and more money." We have whole zakhira and treasure of du'as of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Isn't it right? Huge. No sect of Islam has this treasure of du'as and ad'iyah of Ahlul Bayt like we, Ahlul Tashayyu, have it. Isn't that right? Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullah alayhi used to say the du'as of Ahlul Bayt is Al-Quran al-Sa'id. This Quran that me and you we have in our hand and we read, this tilawat of this Quran is Al-Quran al-Nazil. It descended from there to this world. It's Al-Quran al-Nazil. This word Al-Quran al-Nazil. And the du'as of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is Al-Quran al-Sa'id in the eyes of Urafa. There's no less in the contents than Quran. This is the Quran which is ascending from here towards there. The Mukhatab is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Mutakallim is Prophet in Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And the Muhtawa and contents of a Kalam will be decreased if your Mukhatab is not of the level of Sath Zahni. Not his level of understanding is low, so you will speak less. So the Sath Zahn, the understanding of Allah is nothing less. He's Al-Kamalul Mutlaq. Absolute perfection, isn't it right? Al-Jamalul Mutlaq, absolute beauty. And the Mutakallim also has no naqs because Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are Al-Madharul Akmal Lissifat Wal Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no naqs in the Mukhatab and there is no naqs in the Mutakallim. So why in the world would the du'as will be less in muhtawa and contents? Doesn't make any sense. So this dua is called Al-Qur'an al-Sa'id, the ascending Qur'an. You never find in the du'as of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which are ascending Qur'an, that they have ever asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh my Lord, give me more money." Do you find anywhere the Prophet, his mustajabu da'wah, his dua is always accepted. Do you find anywhere Allah Prophet said, Ahlul Bayt said to Allah, "Oh my Lord, give me more and more money." Allah would give it if they ask. They are mustajabu dawah, their du'as are accepted. And they never ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Prophet keeps tabs on everything. He has the unseeable knowledge of the unseeable. Ilmul ghaib al mutlaq. Why doesn't he ask? Instead, Prophet asks the opposite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the azamat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's asking the opposite. So he says, and Shaykh al-Tusi rahmatullah alayhi, the muassis and founder of the Hawza of Najaf, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh al-Ta'ifa, Shaykh Abu Ja'far al-Tusi. We call him Shaykh al-Ta'ifa al-Shi'iyya. He is the head of the Shia religion. Because he revived, he's mujaddid, he revived our religion from almost scratch. So we find Shaykh Tusi in his book Kitab al-Tahdeeb, which is one of the four mother books of hadith. We have four mother books of hadith: Kitab al-Tahdeeb, Kitab al-Istibsar fi makhtalafa min al-akhbar, and al-Kafi, right? And Man la yahduruhu al-faqih. Four mother books, Ummahatul Kutub, for hadith. And one of the four books is Kitab al-Tahdeeb of Shaykh al-Tusi. And in Kitab al-Tahdeeb, Shaykh al-Tusi is narrating this riwayat, which is Sahiha, the best category of hadith. Sahiha. And Shaykh Tusi narrates this Sahiha, that, and this is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma rzuq Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa man ahabba Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin al-ifafa wal-kafaf. Prophet is praying the opposite of money. He, in the Sahiha, narrated by Shaykh Tusi, that, "Oh my Lord, give to Muhammad and Ali Muhammad and anyone who loves Muhammad and Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-ifaf," means chastity of character. Iffat, pakdamani, how we say in Farsi, chastity of character. Well, kafaf, that means as much money as it suffices your needs. Nothing more than that. As much money as it suffices your darura, your need. That's it. And then Prophet says, that warzuq man abghada Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin kathrat al mal wal walad. O my Lord, give those who hate Muhammad and Ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abundance of money and children. Alhamdulillah on this dua of Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah that Allah has given more money to the enemies of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Alhamdulillah that their number is more and they are in majority. Alhamdulillah. We must understand the concepts of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. We cannot reinvent the wheel. Because there are some people who say, those enemies are doing this and this and this and this, so we can also do. No. You focus on the mawqif and policy of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and Allah will provide nusrat to you if you perform your fariza. The reason why the nusrat is not arriving is that we did not do our fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Imam of our time. Not because we are in minority. Not because we are in minority. Quran has already condemned the majority. Majority is not an authority in Islam. لَا تُتِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُذُلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Don't obey majority on the face of earth. On earth, they will mislead you from the path of Allah. Majority is already condemned in Islam. You don't care about who is in majority. Who cares? In the dictionary of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, we care about who is on haqq. Even if you are less, but you are on haqq, and you perform your fariza, Allah will provide His nusrat to you and you will succeed. The reason why Muslim community is not succeeding is not because the enemies have more money. They will continue to have more money, alhamdulillah, which is a la'nat of Allah upon some of those enemies. They will continue to have more and be more in number because it's a la'nat of Allah upon them. Isn't it right? And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. We should be in minority and not focus on majority but have tawakkul on Allah after doing our fariza. Tawakkul is after doing the fariza. Inshallah, I'll talk about tawakkul as well in one of the nights. So what I was saying is that Prophet never prayed about more money. If we are praying about more money, we must understand there's something gone wrong. We fail to understand the seerat of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Lam yabqa indahu dirhamun wala dinar. Prophet never have a dirham or dinar remaining in his control. Wa in fadla, the riwayat says, if it happened to be extra, lam ya'wa ila manzilihi, he did not used to return back to his house. Until he gives away that dirham and dinar to some mustahab person, then he used to come back to his house. He never used to come back to his house with dirham and dinar. This is how Rasulullah is. All the sins are because of this money, the right attachment to this dunya. So what I was saying, this Qarun guy was so arrogant towards Prophet Musa, and look at how Allah punished. This Namrud. The Namrud was so arrogant towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And look at how Allah punished him with one mosquito which was disabled in its leg. A disabled mosquito. Lillahi junudu samawati wal ard. All the armies of heavens and earth are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every zarra and particle of this universe is assigned soldier performing his assigned task on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may understand, we may never understand. That's our ignorance if we don't discover. But whether we understand or we don't understand is not going to change the on the ground realities. Everything is doing its assigned task on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? So look at how Allah commanded this disabled mosquito to enter into the nose of this arrogant Namrud. And now he used to ask his people in Darbar to hit him with their shoes. And people in Darbar standing around him, everyone is hitting the head of this arrogant Taghi ruler with their shoes. So he used to get some comfort by getting hit. One mosquito is punishing on behalf of Allah, doing the assigned job. Right? Just like Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullah alayhi said, that the zarat of tabas were ma'mur, commanded by Allah to do their assigned task. How many people understand that? So we need to understand that. Who is calling the shots? Who are we? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is doing the job. So we need to understand from the divine perspective. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does towards Fir'aun. One wave of the Nile is enough to take care of the person who used to say, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. There's God in the heaven, but He's smaller than me. I'm your bigger Lord. Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Look at the level of istikbar and takabbur. And look at how Allah punished one wave of the Nile. And فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. Today we are going to save you with your body, so you be a sign for those after you. Now his body is a sign of ibrat for the rest of the generations to remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the arrogance. So takabbur is not accepted. We need to have tawadhu. How Allah deal with the nation of Yunus alayhi salam. These the qasas and stories of Quran are not fairy tales. These are stories that are kept for a reason. We need to take ibrat and improve ourselves. Is that right? How Allah does towards the qawm, the nation of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. Prophet Yunus was sent towards Mosul, this area in Iraq, which is today we call it Mosul. That's the place where Hazrat Yunus was sent. إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. Towards 100,000 or more of the people. That's the ummah of Prophet Yunus. Zannun. 100,000 or more. And he propagated the message of Tawheed. They were kafirs. They were arrogance. Takabbur, istikbar. Didn't listen to the Prophet of God. He preached for 40 days. They did not listen. And Allah asked Prophet Yunus to propagate for another 40 days. And then I will send the Azab. So Prophet Yunus alayhi salam propagated the religion, did the tabligh for another 40 days. For another 37 days actually. When it was 37th day, he did what he did. People are not listening. He departed the city. This is Tarkul Awla. Prophets are masoom, they didn't do sins, but some of the prophets committed tarkul awla, something that should be better be avoided, but they did not avoid. One of the reasons why Rasul and Ahlul Bayt are afdal and superior than all the rest of the prophets and their awsiya, their deputies, is because they never performed tarkul awla, something that should be better be avoided. And you know, they always avoided that. So some of the Anbiya did Tarkul Awla, like Hazrat Yunus. On the 37th day, he did not ask Allah's izn and permission and command. Now what he's supposed to do without seeking Allah's command. And he departed the city. Allah disliked it. In Ilm al-Irfan, they say, Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyatul Muqarrabin. Even the good deeds of the regular good doers are considered to be sins for muqarrabeen, because the muqarrab and close people are supposed to do way more than just the regular good deeds. If they just perform the regular good deeds, that's not what is expected from them, because they are muqarrab. They are not abrar. Abrar are regular good doers. So we find that Allah, he went outside, he came towards the towards the sea. And obviously, when he saw that he was embarrassed, the punishment didn't come on his nation, he went towards the sea. Got aboard a ship. The ship was departing from the shore. And he got aboard. It was already full. He went aboard the ship. It went into the sea. And when it went into the sea, it started to shake. The waves of the sea are there and shaking the boat, is about to be drowned. And somebody said, there is a sinner on this boat. There is somebody who is at fault. There is somebody who is at fault, who made a mistake. So Ahlul Malal, somebody who needs Malala. So he's aboard the ship, that's why the ship is not stable. And Hazrat Yunus said, it's me. And people said, no, don't say that. You are the Prophet of Allah. We have hope in you that you pray to Allah to make the ship stable. He said, I know about myself better than you. Fasahama, Quran says, Surah As-Saffat, Fasahama fakana min al-mudhadin. But Musa Yunus did the Quran 7 times. It's mentioned in the tafsir, not once. 7 times he put the Quran to find out, because they settled among themselves, let's do the Quran, write down the names of all the people in the ship. Whomsoever name comes out, we will request that person to please just jump into the sea and let the rest of the people survive. Because you are at fault, and because of you, everybody is suffering. So let's put the Quran, a draw, and let's say whose name comes out in the draw. So Hazrat Yunus himself did the draw 7 times, and all the 7 times his name was coming out. Now it was decided he's going to jump from the boat, and people are carrying him to throw him into the sea. They come towards this side of the boat, and a huge fish comes and opens the mouth. And people don't want to throw the messenger prophet of Allah like this into the mouth of the fish. They carry Prophet Yunus towards the other side of the boat, and the same fish comes out to that side and opens the mouth. They try to the other side, and same fish goes there. I just recited to you the ayat of Quran, لِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You cannot outfox Allah. It's Allah who is calling the sharks. So it's you cannot outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? Hazrat Yunus said that this is what Allah has decided for me, in other words. So they threw him, and the fish took him into the stomach. And the narration says that Allah commanded the ship, the fish, he is not your food. This is not your tu'ma. He is not your food. You're not allowed to consume him. The amr of Allah. So all the alam al-takmeen is obedient towards Allah. When Allah commands, it happens. There is no tamarrud and tughyan and rebellion in the entire universe upon the amr of Allah. It's only some of the humans and jinns who are committing the tughyan. Nothing else in the universe is disobeying, cannot dare to disobey Allah's amr. So the fish cannot even think of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of alam al-takmeen, it's not part of alam al-tashriq. All the tamarrud and tughyan, and you find the arrogance and disobediences of Allah are committed by the humans and jinns only in the name of freedom, democracy, human rights, women's rights, freedom of expression. You name it. All those hollow slogans in the West. You name it. Isn't it right? So it's okay to insult the Holy Prophet in the name of freedom of expression when it comes to the royal family of England. Isn't it right? And the cartoons of the royal lady of the royal family of England is published in a French newspaper. We find the court of France commands the person who even has the electronic copies of the photos to submit it to the court. Otherwise there's such and such penalty. So there's no freedom of expression when it comes to the royal family of England. When the cartoon is published in Spain against the royal couple of Spain, again we find there's a law blocking it. So there's no freedom of expression for the royal family of Spain. Freedom of expression is a tool for obscenity. It's not a license for obscenity. That's what they're using it for, against Islam only. For everyone else, there is no freedom. Only for insulting the Holy Prophet. So we find that we are the most peaceful religion in the world. But we have a right to defend our dignity and the dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So now Allah commanded the fish. Fish is part of Alam al-Takween. Zero disobedience is in Alam al-Takween. Nothing of the Alam al-Takween can think of disobeying Allah. All disobediences are in Alam al-Tashreeq. world of legislature, world of Sharia. The humans and jinns are the part of the world of Sharia. Sharia applies on us, not on the fish. Isn't it right? They are part of Adam and Takmeen. They don't have any disobedience. So the fish remains hungry for 40 days. Can you imagine? For 40 days, the fish remains hungry, does not eat food. Because Allah commanded the fish, this is not your to'ma, he is not your food. You cannot consume him, in other words. The fish stays hungry for 40 days. And then the riwayat says, this fish was consumed by another fish. And that another second fish was consumed by a third fish. So Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam is now carried in the stomach and inside three fishes. And Allah converted the walls of the stomach of the fishes as transparent. The riwayat says in the tafsir of this incident. And so now he can see around in the seven oceans where the fish was commanded by Allah to take him and give him a walk around and a tour of all the seven oceans of the planet. So all seven oceans he saw, and he was taken to the depths of the oceans. And when he reaches there inside the ocean, that's where he hears the tasbih. That the dwellers of oceans used to perform. That tasbih Hazrat Yunus heard inside the ocean from the dwellers and creatures of the ocean. That they used to do this tasbih of Allah, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. This is the tasbih of those that belong to the oceans. That's how he hears that. Look at the arrangement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? So now we find when he hears that tasbih, he started to do the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illa anta. We call it zikrun yunusi. Very effective zikr for various purposes and goals that we should continue to read in our life. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka falawla annahu kana minal musabbihin lalabitha. Quran says lalabitha fi batnihi ila yawmi yub'athun. If he was not one of the musabbihin doing the tasbih of Allah, lalabitha, he would definitely be staying fi batnihi in the stomach of the fish ila yawmi yub'athun, till the day they get resurrected. Allah would have definitely kept him inside the stomach of the fish had he not been among the musabbihin. Look at the greatness of tasbih. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Isn't it right? Every single thing performs the tasbih of Allah. But you guys don't understand the tasbih. My teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafidhahullah was saying under the tafsir of this ayat that every existence in the universe is Musabbih doing tasbih of Allah, and Hamid doing the praise of Allah, and Abid doing the worship of Allah, and Zakir busy in the zikr and remembrance of Allah. Every mawjood and existence is Musabbih and Hamid and Abid and Zakir. This is the universe in which we are living. Everything, the ulafa who don't have hijabat on their qalb, the curtains that block our vision to see the haqa'iq and realities, they hear the tasbih of mawjudat with their ears of their spirituality. That we don't hear the tasbih of the mawjudat. Everything has a tasbih. But we don't hear it. Just because we don't hear and we don't know, it doesn't give us a license to deny. What do we know? What we know is so less as compared to what we don't. There's almost, in Arabic, there's a proverb, we say, "An-nadiru kal-ma'doom." Nadir is just like non-existence. We know is so much nadir and rare and less information, is almost equal to none. So it's virtually okay to say, we are jahil. We are jahil. What do we know? So we find that Hazrat Yunus performs the tasbih of Allah, and now after he performed the tasbih, the riwayat says the malaika who are on the al-mala'ul a'la, the highest abode, So they heard the voice, Ya Rab, you know, they, in other words, we are listening a familiar voice coming from an unfamiliar place. Whose voice is this? And Allah tells the Malaika, this is the voice of Yunus. I put him under Iqab. So we have Iqab in Arabic. Iqab, we use it for a punishment over a sin. When a person doesn't do a sin, it's tarkul awla, we don't use the word Iqab in Arabic. We use the word Itab. So I put my servant, I put Yunus under Itab. So now, obviously, Allah had his mercy on Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. And then he commands the fish to bring him back to the shore. Now he's thrown out of the of the stomach onto the shore. His body is so weak and ill, and obviously he's hungry and thirsty. Allah commands the jungle goats, the mountain goat, in the command of Allah to come and provide the milk to Yunus. The mountain goat comes out of miracle to give him the milk. Allah commands a tree of pumpkin, to be grown next to Prophet Yunus, so that the leaves of the tree are, they are bigger and wider leaves, so it can put shadow over Hazrat Yunus. His body is very weak. He cannot tolerate the sun rays falling over his body. It pains. Look at the arrangements of Allah, how He does His rahmat. So, some of the narrations say, when this tree, this plant of pumpkin, kadu, yaqteen, in Arabic we call yaqteen, this tree dried up after a while, Hazrat Yunus got upset. Because it was helping him to survive. And then tangshud, he became upset and anxious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, you became anxious and you did not become anxious over the destiny of those 100,000 people receiving the adab. Is that right? That's the way it is, because he is a prophet. He's supposed to be more caring about his people more than what he did. Because what happened is that when he left the town, the people did tawadhu and modesty towards Allah instead of istikbar. Earlier they were doing takabbur. We are discussing tawadhu and the value of tawadhu in the eyes of Islam. So what the people did, they changed their takabbur towards tawadhu. So now the king was a wiser person as compared to the rest. He asked his people, his nation, that the men get separated from the women, and the children get separated from the mothers, and the youngsters should be putting their heads in the sajda, and we should all, the nation should come out barefoot and bare head. Don't cover your heads and don't wear any shoes, barefooted and bare head. This is how we show tawadhu and modesty in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they saw the adab coming, the cloud of fire was getting closer on the top of their head. It's about to shower fire upon them, so they get devastated, but then they did istighfar. Usually Allah does not accept the istighfar done at the ru'yat of adab. When you see the adab, then you do the istighfar, usually it's not accepted. It happened for the qawm, for the nation of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. Somebody asked Imam Rida alayhi salam that Fir'aun did, he accept Tawheed, he became a mu'min. Isn't it right? When he was drowning, he became a mu'min at that time. He said, Amantu. Why didn't Allah accept his tawbah? Because Imam Rida alayhi salam says, لِأَنَّهُ آمَنَ عِنْدَ رُؤْيَةِ الْبَعْثِ وَالْإِيمَانُ عِنْدَ رُؤْيَةِ الْبَحْثِ غَيْرُ مَقْبُولٍ. Because Fir'aun became a mu'min after seeing the death. And the iman after seeing, at the time of seeing the death, in other words, that's not accepted. Now this time, this is what Allah dealt with the nation of Prophet Nuh. They are showing tawadu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in modesty and doing istighfar. Isn't it right? So we find that Allah removed the cloud of adab and punishment and sent the adab of rahmat. Now the king understood, we all did the wrong, we showed takabbur towards our Prophet, we did not accept him, we gave him a hard time. He set a price, announced a price in front of his nation. Anyone who brings a clue towards where is Yunus alayhi salam, I am going to give my entire kingdom to him. This is how much he became his tawbah and he did tawadu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will quit my kingdom and give the kingdom to the person who give me the news. Where is Yunus alayhi salam? So I can serve my entire life in the khidmat of the holy of the Prophet. Nobody knew where is Yunus alayhi salam. Finally, when Yunus alayhi salam is coming back after the incident of the fish. Now he's coming back towards his town. When he comes to his town, he finds that there's a shepherd with his goats, sheep goats. He asks the shepherd to give me some milk. Shepherd replies back, he didn't know who is this person. He didn't know he's Yunus alayhi salam. Shepherd said, since Yunus has left our town, there's no rain arriving in our city. And because there is no rain, there are no plantations. There's, you know, there's no milk in the breasts of the goats and sheep, in other words. So I can't give you any milk. Prophet Yunus said, there was a goat or sheep there, bring him to me. He brought that to him and he rubbed his hand and the sheep or the goat started to have milk. He was shocked, what kind of miracle is this? He said, are you Yunus? He said, I am Yunus. No, I'm not going to accept. How can I accept until you give me some bayina, some evidence that you are Yunus? And that's where Hajar and Shajar, you know, the stone and the tree there, started to speak with the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the fact that Yunus alayhi salam, this is Yunus. He said, okay, just wait a minute here. Let me rush to the king and let me be the first to give the news to the king so that I can get the kingdom. When I can get the kingdom. Look at the tawadu of the king. King is showing tawadu that I will quit my kingdom. Isn't it right? And I'll become mutawadu. He's mutawadu. And I will be khadim and servant of Yunus if I find him. For the rest of my life. I did wrong in the previous times. Now he rushes to, obviously, that Yunus alayhi salam came and the news came. Now this shepherd receives the kingdom from the king. The king becomes the khadim of Yunus alayhi salam, and the shepherd becomes the ruler of that area. Peace be upon him. So it is very important that we remember the tawadu which Allah loves. Rasulullah used to sleep on hasir leafy. Right? You know, the dry leaves of the date palm, nakhla. The dry leaves of the date palm, they used to make, a mat-like thing. Prophet used to sleep over that. And somebody saw the Rasulullah, and he woke up, and on his body there were marks of hasir. Marks of that, leaves of the tree over his body when he wakes up. And somebody said to him, Ya Rasulullah, you are Ashraful Anbiya wal Mursaleen. You are the greatest person. You are sleeping over this Hasir. And Qaisar and Kasra, the emperor of Iran. Right? Kasra and Qaisar, the emperor of the Roman Empire. They are sleeping over Harir and Silk. Prophet replied back, Lahumu dunya. وَلَنَا الْآخِرَةِ They have dunya. For them it's dunya. And for us it's akhirat. Look at the tawadu of Rasulullah. So we find in one of the nights, his wife sometimes is narrated, he used to fold this abba. His wife used to fold the abba of Rasulullah and used to sleep over that. He had no bed. One of the nights, the riwayat says, the wife of the Prophet folded the abba. Instead of making two folds, she did four folds. So it becomes softer. Prophet woke up a little bit late in the time of Sahar. And then he said, when he woke up, he said to his wife, next time make it the same two folds. And then don't make it four folds. So what you, this is the one we do, this kind of behaviors are impacting. Halawatul dunya, mararatul akhirah. Mararatul dunya, halawatul akhirah. Any kind of comfort and sweetness that we get, these kinds of material things are going to impact on our akhirat. And any kind of hardships we face for the sake of Allah in this world have an impact on akhirat. This is, please say salawat. So we find that the tawadhu of Rasulullah is on the highest level. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, mad dunya fil akhirah illa kama yaj'alu ahadukum as-sababata fil yam falyanzur bima yarji'. Dunya towards akhirat, in other words, is just like one of you puts his finger in the ocean, in the water, and then you take your finger out. How much water is there on your finger? This is the status of dunya towards akhirat. Incomparable. What is the status of this few qatarat and drops on my finger as compared to the whole ocean? But people don't understand, because لَوْ سَمِعْتُمْ مَا أَسْمَعْ وَلَوْ رَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَرَىٰ. That's the Mazmoon Riwayah. If you used to hear what I hear and see what I see, لَا ضَحَكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would have been laughing less. Prophet never used to laugh. كَانَ ضَحْكُهُ التَّبَسُّمْ. Riwayat says, the Prophet's laughing was not there. Instead of laughing, he used to smile. تَبَسُّمْ. الضَحْكُ لَيْسَ مِنْ سُنَّةِ الرَّسُولِ. He never used to laugh. لَا ضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would have been laughing less. وَلَا بَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, you would have been crying more. وَلَا هَانَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا, dunya would have become lowly in front of you, unimportant in front of you. وَلَا أَحْسَنْتُمُ الْآخِرَةِ, you would have given preference to akhirat. Why we don't do all these things? Why are we not giving preference to akhirat and dunya is not lowly? Isn't it right? We have a long wish list about material things that we want to do and buy in our life. Isn't it right? And why are we laughing more and crying less? Because we are not hearing what the Prophet used to hear, and we are not seeing what he used to see. That's the reason. So this is about the role of knowledge. We learn the knowledge, and through the knowledge we get the nur. Knowledge is like a light, nur of Allah. You want to walk in a jungle, in a dark alley, you need to have a torch or candle in your hand to lit up the way so you can see where you are going. Knowledge empowers you to see the right from the wrong, and the good from the bad, and the correct from the incorrect, and what pleases Allah from what displeases Allah. That's the job of knowledge. But then you have to walk yourself to get the taqwa. So this ilm is very significant. And if we knew what's the benefit of seeking knowledge, we would have gone for it. You know, when my child reaches the age of choosing a career in his life, what options do I put on the table for my son? Well, my son, you choose this career or this career or this career because here you can make more money out of it. Well, this is not the right approach, brothers and sisters. We need to put the careers on the table for the son or the daughter. With which career you can serve Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam better than the rest? That's the right approach of a mu'min. We don't need no doctors in Islam. We don't need no engineers in Islam. We don't need no chartered accountants. We don't need no IT professionals. We need Shia doctors and Shia engineers and Shia chartered accountants and Shia professionals and Shia ID professionals who give preference to their iman over their profession. This is what Islam wants. If you don't give tarjih and preference to the needs of your iman over your profession, I can go to a Jewish doctor as well. There's so many out there. Why in the world would I come to you? What do you have extra than him? I would come to you if you are a mu'min first and a doctor second. Then I would come to you. So we don't need no doctors and engineers. We need Shia professionals and Shia doctors and Shia engineers in Islam. This is the perspective of Islam. That this kind of perspective is make you prosper as an ummah. So we find that this is the knowledge. The knowledge gives us, the Islamic knowledge gives you the nur and light in your qalb. So now you start looking from the divine perspective instead of your take on the issue. Your take is not hujjat. Everybody can come up and say, well, the Quran says that my take is like this. Who cares about your take? We're not here to worship your takes and opinions. We come here to worship Allah according to what Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said. Keep your takes at your home, okay? Please coming to the Islamic Center. So we find this ilm provides the nur in the qalb. Imam Sadiq al-Islam says that لو يعلم الناس ما في طلب العلم لطلبوه ولو بسفك المهج وغوص اللجاج. If people knew what is there, that means what benefits are there, in other words, for them in seeking knowledge, the divine knowledge, they would have gone into the depths of the ocean. If they had to go to the depths of the oceans to get it, they would have gone. If they had to kill each other to get it, they would have done it. That's the status of the divine knowledge. Then we need to be particular about it. So knowledge is respected in Islam if you have a divine perspective to it. So Imam Hussain al-Islam had so much respect towards Habib ibn Mudahir, who was a faqih. Some of the riwayat say Imam Hussain al-Islam wrote a letter to Habib ibn Mudahir, min al-Hussain ibn Ali, from Hussain son of Ali, ila Habib ibn Mudahir, to Habib son of Mudahir, ila rajul al-faqih, to a man who is faqih. Imam Hussain is writing a letter to a faqih and a mujtahid. There were mujtahids in the time of Ahlul Bayt as well. So we've done, and Imam Hussain, Habib receives the letter from Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He becomes so happy. Habib is mahbub and beloved in the eyes of the Holy Prophet. Prophet used to love Habib ibn Mudahir. Once his father Mudahir salamullahi alayh was visiting, coming for the ziyarat of Rasulullah in Medina, and his son Habib was with him, who was a young boy. Imam Hussain was present there. Imam Hussain was walking, and Habib was walking behind Imam Hussain and picking up the soil under the feet of Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salam and putting over his head. When Rasulullah saw that, you know, he expressed his love towards Habib. This is how his father, Hazrat Mudahir alayhi salam, has raised such a great son, Habib. Our Urafa say all the ashab of Imam Hussein are azim and great. But there are darajat and levels even among the ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The daraja of Habib ibn Mudahir is way afdal as compared to the daraja of Hur, who was part of the army of Tahut. You cannot compare. They're all azim. They're all great. Even among anbiya, there are darajat. Tilka rusul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. Isn't it right? So even in the ashab of Imam Hussein, there are darajat. So the daraja of Habib al-Mudahir is so high. It's unthinkable for us. So high. So, min al-Husayn ibn Ali ila al-Rajul al-Faqih Habib ibn Mudahir. Imam Hussain is sending a letter according to that riwayat to a faqih person, faqih man, the son of Mudahir. Habib became so happy. He's the old-time follower and friend of Imam Hussain, childhood friend. He receives the letter, he becomes so happy. He comes inside of his house and his wife asks him, "Whose letter is this?" And he says, "It's a letter of my Mawla Imam Hussain alayhi salam," which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my words. So his wife says, "What did Imam my Mawla say in the letter?" He said, "My Mawla says that we are surrounded by the enemies. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah." Habib al-Madai, who would know the relationship of Imam Hussain alayhi salam towards Rasulullah better than Habib al-Madahir? Isn't it right? You remember what's the relation of Rasulullah when Imam Hussain is a young child and Imam Hussain comes over the back of the Holy Prophet when he's doing sajda. Isn't it right? Imam Hussain comes over his back. And when Prophet was about to raise his head, Allah sends Jibreel that don't raise your head from the sajda until Hussain comes off your back himself. So Prophet had to repeat the zikr of sajda 770 times. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. 70 times. It became sunnat of Rasulullah from that day onwards that we are allowed to say the zikr of sajda 70 times. This is the azamat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So this is the qarabat of Rasulullah towards Imam al-Hussein. Who has this qarabat? In the occasion of Eid, when Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein were not having any markab. They don't have any animal to ride. People are making their children ride the animals. Today we have cars. Right? In those days there were camels and horses. Person who is more rich, he would have a horse. If you are less rich, you will have a camel. You are further poor, you will have a donkey or a mule. Horse was the most expensive. People had animals to ride on the day of Eid for their children. Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam had no animal to ride. But now Prophet becomes a markab for them. He makes Imam Hassan sit on one side of his shoulder and Imam Hussein sit on the other side of the shoulder, and he gave his hair into the hands, part of the hair into the hand of Imam al-Hassan, part of his hair into the hand of Imam al-Hussein. Look at the love and muhabbat of Rasulullah. This is how he is showing his love, with the qarabat and relationship. And when one of the ashab comes to the Prophet and says, "What a nice markab, what a nice ride," you know, person who is giving the ride. And Prophet says, what a nice ride. That means, how nice are those who are riding over me. This is the azamat of Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam. So you know the qarabat of Rasulullah? So he says to Habib al-Malai, "Anta ta'lami, ta'lamu qarabati min Rasulullah." You know my qarabat and relation to Rasulullah. If you can come to help us, come. Habib got the letter, he became so happy. This is a man and ihsan of Imam al-Hussein over Habib. That Imam al-Hussein is the madhar of all the asma of Allah and the madhar of the name As-Samad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's beyond. He doesn't stand in need of Habib al-Mudahar or anyone else. This is the ihsan and man of Imam Hussein and favor that he's going to Habib so that he can take him to the paradise. Imam Hussein doesn't stand in need. We stand in need of the Mawla and Imam of our time. Habib was so happy. He comes inside and explains to his wife, "It's the letter of my Mawla. And my Mawla says that I'm surrounded by the enemies. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah. And if you can come to help us, come." His wife said, "Then what are you thinking about? What are you planning?" He said, "Well, I am thinking about you. If I leave you and join Imam Hussain alayhi salam, what is going to happen to you?" And this mu'mina replies back that the son of Fatima al-Zahra is calling you for help and you are thinking about me? she, some of the narration says she threw her chadar over Habib and said, if you don't go to join and help Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, I am going to go myself to help my Mawla. This is the kayfiyat of this household, this great house. So we find Habib replies back, obviously I am going to go to help my Imam. I was just testing you. And then he sends his ghulam to take the horse to such and such location in the outskirts of Kufa, which is surrounded by the soldiers of Ibn Ziyad, so no one can leave and no one can join. So he sent his horse with his ghulam to that location and asked him to wait for him. When he reached that spot, after a short delay, the ghulam was talking to the horse. The riwayat says that if my master doesn't come to ride you, don't worry, I am going to ride myself and go to Karbala to help and sacrifice my life for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Habib, when he hears that conversation, then he said towards Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, how mazloom are you that even the slaves are ready to sacrifice their life upon you? And Imam and Habib says to his slave, I set you free. And his slave replies back, this is not fair. As long as I was in your service, you kept me in your service. And now that you are going to serve my Mawla Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, now you are setting me free. This is not right. You have to take me as well, so I can also sacrifice my life for my Mawla. Habib takes his slave along with him, and we find there in Karbala, Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam was distributing the ra'yat, the flags among his ashab, then his people. But one of the flags he did not distribute to anybody. That flag was kept aside. Somebody asked Imam al-Husayn, you did not give away this one flag to anyone. And he says, the one who deserves to get that flag is about to arrive. And soon they found the ghubar and dust showing up from the direction of Kufa. And Habib ibn Mudahir is coming. And now they are doing the istiqbal. They are doing the ashab of Imam, are doing the istiqbal of Habib ibn Mudahir. And Hazrat Fidda salamullah alayha, she, Hazrat Zainab said to her, obviously Hazrat Zainab had been hearing the news up till now that this army of Umar ibn Sa'ad la'anatullah alayh has arrived. Such and such army of the Ashqiyah have joined. She never got a news that one of the companions of Imam has arrived to help the Imam. Now she sends Fidda salamullah alayha to go and find who has arrived. And she goes and then she comes back to Hazrat Zainab and she says that this is Habib ibn Mudahir, who is coming, the old friend of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. When Hazrat Zainab, she gets the news that Hazrat Habib is coming here to join and serve the Imam, she says the salam. She sends her salam to Habib. We find that when Habib ibn Mudahir receives the salam from Sayyidah Zainab, he sits down. He sits down over the soil and soil of Karbala, and he starts picking up the soil and putting over his head. Look at the tawadu of Habib. He's putting the soil of Karbala and the turbat of the Karbala over his head. You know, what a time has arrived that my lady Zainab is saying salam to a servant like me. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمُ قَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِلَهِي بِحَقِّ الزَّهْرَاءِ وَأَبِيهَا وَبَعْلِهَا وَبَنِيهَا وَالسَّرِّ الْمُسْتَوْدَعِ فِيهَا يَا اللَّهُ 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين